Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. As a part of our continued commitment to providing free Islamic knowledge and education to millions of people all around the world, we are very grateful to share with you the Tafsir Podcast, a meaningful study of the entire Qur'an. In this series, we will take a journey through the Book of Allah, exploring its meaning, its linguistic miracle, and timeless wisdom. Become a partner in this and so many other of our Sadaqah Jariyah initiatives and projects that will earn you countless reward by becoming a sustainer at supportqalam.com. Contribute on a monthly basis, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, continuing with our study of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tafsir al-Quran. In the previous session, we talked about ayah number 30 from Surah Al-Baqarah. Ayah number 30 from Surah Al-Baqarah is the beginning of a very, very significant, important passage of the Qur'an, which addresses a very important part of human history, and that is the creation of Adam alayhi salam, what is often referred to as the story of Genesis, the beginning of man, the beginning of humankind. So, where we left off is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about him informing the angels, the malaika, about the creation of Adam alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, that remember that time when your Lord, your Master, and Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, that I am going to place within the earth, upon the earth, a vicegerent, as we talked about, a representative of God's authority, a representative of divine will. And we talked about the different layers and levels of that. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. The angels, they responded by saying that أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. This is a question that is rooted within earnest curiosity. This is an honest and sincere inquiry. This is not a question that is rooted within, you know, this is not a challenge, nor is this a question that is based within skepticism. Rather, this is a very earnest, sincere inquiry and question from the angels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that our Lord, Ya Rabb, explain to us the wisdom in placing a creature upon the earth, may yusidu fiha, who has the propensity and who has the tendency to create chaos. وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, and shed blood. We talked about the different dynamics of that. And then the angels further say that, O Allah, again, presenting this in absolute sincerity and respectfully, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, that the purpose of the creation is to glorify and recognize and glorify the Creator. And if that is the objective, that is the purpose as we have understood it, then we are fully capable of continuing to praise you and glorify you and, you know, respect you and believe you as you deserve to be believed in. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا تَعْلَمُونَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ayah concludes by Allah responding to them, saying, indeed I know everything and you know nothing. I know that which you do not know. And what that basically results in is that the creation only knows that which the creation is informed of, and God knows everything. So I know that which you have no way of ever knowing. You do not know, you cannot know, you have no way of knowing. Now we continue from ayah number 31. In ayah number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us now what occurred after this. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ
فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. So I'll read a translation of this, and then we'll get into a discussion about the actual verse, the ayah, and what we learn from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this particular ayah, ayah number 31, the translator writes here, he taught Adam all the names of things. Then he showed them to the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you truly think you can. So what basically this outlines for us, and I'll explain a little bit of what the basic language means, and then further from there we'll of course go into the tafsir of it, the deeper meaning and understanding, and what are some of the gems that we are able to realize here within this very remarkable, powerful ayah that tells us about this particular moment. So first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. God taught Adam the names of things, كُلَّهَا, all of them. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ, God taught Adam names, all of them. So what does that exactly mean? What exactly does that imply, that God taught Adam all the names? What are all the names? The names of what things? So, first and foremost, there's a very important rule of interpreting the Quran that we have to be aware of, that we have to be cognizant of. That there are certain places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us about what we can refer to very briefly or very generally as the realm of the unseen. The realm of the unseen. And what I mean by that is this particular moment where it's an occasion, an event, an occurrence within the heavens. And this is not happening here in this worldly realm. Or there might be certain things the Quran informs us about that will happen in the future at the end of times. Or there are certain things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran that are occurring in the afterlife, that are occurring on the Day of Judgment, or in paradise, or in hell. These are what we refer to as the realm of the unseen, ilmul ghayb. This is knowledge that is not accessible to us. Whenever Allah speaks about these kinds of things, then a very important rule to remember is that we might not have all the details. We might not have all the details. But investigating those details, trying to figure out those details, there's really no particular benefit in that. And it is also fair to say that there is no real concrete way for us to be able to ascertain and acquire those details. So when Allah tells us about paradise, or Allah tells us about the Day of Judgment, then for us to try to further figure out, well, what exactly is going to be the setup there? Well, there's no real way. It's ilm ghayr kasabi. It's not knowledge that can be acquired. So there's no concrete way for us to be able to gain that knowledge, and there's no particular benefit, really honestly, that's going to come from that knowledge. Or that discussion rather, excuse me. We can't get that knowledge, and there's no benefit coming from that discussion. So more often than not, it's a frivolous activity. At best, you're wasting your time. And at worst, you're speculating about things that you do not have the right to speculate about, particularly if that speculation will lead you in a problematic direction. And then you might end up formulating some very problematic ideas and thoughts. And that is the beginning of a lot of trouble. So when we say, so now coming back to this, God taught Adam all the names. So what does that exactly refer to? What are all these things and all these names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam? So there's been a lot of discussion about it. That is something that has piqued the curiosity of Muslims since the revelation of the Quran. And different folks have discussed potentially different ideas. However, whether it be that the species of animals, maybe it was plants and animals, maybe it was, you know, essential elements of the existence and earth. Maybe it was the names of angels. But again, There's real no way for us to be able to concretely say exactly what it is. And that's, and another point that I didn't make earlier, when we get stuck into details like this, like what were these things, what were these names that God taught Adam? Another issue that comes about when we get into these types of things is we miss the point. It's the old expression of losing the forest for the trees. You become so obsessed with this one little detail, you forget the bigger picture. And that's oftentimes a trap of shaitan, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this, rajiman bil ghayb. Don't engage in speculation, right? People talking about things that they don't have any knowledge about. And that's actually one of the objectives and goals of shaitan. That's one of the traps of shaitan. Shaitan wants to preoccupy you with talking about things that you have no business talking about. Because then you're not talking about the things you should be talking about. And this has been kind of in Islamic discourse, this has been kind of a theme that we've talked about repeatedly. There's so many different things. Right? The Quran uses an example. How many people were amongst the Ashabul Kahf, the companions of the cave? The Quran uses that as an example. Some say there were, you know, five, and the sixth was a dog. Some say there were six, and the seventh was a dog. They say there was seven, and the eighth was a dog. Rajiman bil ghayb. And Allah says, everyone's speculating. Right? Nobody really knows what they're talking about. Another kind of almost like a cliche or kind of a thing that was often said by earlier scholars is that, you know, the world is burning down, people are dying, people are losing their faith, people are struggling in their lives and in their deen and in their religion, and you're over here trying to figure out what color was the dog of the people of Kahf. Right? You're trying to figure out what color the dog was. Meanwhile, people dying and nobody cares. Nobody pays attention to that. So this is a trap. This is a problem. This is an issue. And so we have to be very precautious about this. But let's get back to focusing on the point. God taught Adam certain names of certain things. We don't really know what it was. It doesn't matter what it was. The point is, God taught Adam the names of certain items or things. Then, kullaha, like everything that was basically available there, because even the what all was there, we don't even really know. That kullaha, what does that exactly refer to or mean? But God taught Adam names of things. Okay? Then, thumma aradahum alal malaika. This is the point. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented those same things and names, the same names and things, identification of things. Allah presented them to the angels. Then Allah presented them to the angels. So the idea here is this, right? Because when it says al-asma, al-ism, right? The name of something, a name represents a thing. So whenever you talk about a name, you're also talking about the thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches Adam the names of these things. Then He teaches them to the angels, meaning He presents them before the angels. Now you get an opportunity. So it's like I give you a vocabulary list, and after I give it to you, I give it to him. I give him the same vocabulary list. Here you go, take a look at this. This is the same thing I showed him. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالْ And then God said, أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Then Allah tested the angels. And he said, tell me the names of these things, in kuntum sadiqin, if you are truthful, or if you think that you earnestly think you have the ability to carry out my will, to do what I want to be done on the earth, that if you think you truly possess the ability to replace the human being on the earth and serve whatever purpose the human being was meant to serve, then tell me the names of these things. So that's ayah number 31. Now, in ayah number 32, the angels, they have, remember, they've been tested. They've been now quizzed. They are now being quizzed. Ambi'uni, tell me. Inform me. So in ayah number 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the angels, they respond to this quiz that is being administered by Allah Himself. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. The translator for this particular ayah, he writes in ayah number 32, they said, the angels, they said, may you be glorified. O Allah, may you be glorified. Subhanak. La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. We have knowledge only of what you have taught us. Innaka antal 'alimul hakim. You are the all-knowing and all-wise. The angels responded. Let's process what their response is, because it's quite interesting. It's quite intriguing. Allah, the angels say, Subhanak. They praise and they glorify Allah. They praise and they glorify Allah. Subhanak. Allah, you are above and beyond everything. You are above and beyond your creation. You are absolutely perfect. You are completely flawless. You glorified. You are glorified. Subhanak. Then, after praising Allah, they now actually respond to the question that was posed to them. They say, La ilma lana. They didn't say, La a'lamu. We don't know. They say, La ilma lana. This is a form of negation in the Arabic language that is referred to often as absolute negation. There is no knowledge for us. We possess no knowledge. Illa, except for, Ma allamtana. What you have taught us. What you have given us. We don't have the ability to possess knowledge except that which you have given us. We only know what you have instilled within us, installed within us. That's all we know. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Most definitely you, and only you, O Allah, are the all-knowing and the all-wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time, He then turns His attention to Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Adam in ayah number 33. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Adam alayhi salam, قال, God said, Ya Adamu anbi'hum bi asma'ihim. So I'll translate it kind of as we go along with the ayah, because it's a very, it's a little bit of a lengthy ayah, and also I want us to be able to focus on each part of it. So I'll read from the translation. Then he said, Adam, tell them the names of these. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. When he told them their names, فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. Then, when Adam informed them of the names of these things, God said, Did I not tell you, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Did I not tell you that I know what is hidden in the heavens and the earth, and that I know what you reveal and what you conceal? I know what is hidden in the heavens and the earth, and that I know what you reveal and what you conceal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this particular ayah, what do we see here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Adam after quizzing the angels, and the angels say, glory be to you, O Allah. May you be glorified. We possess no knowledge except for that which you installed within us. You are the all-knowing and all-wise. And while that is a very, very beautiful response and a very respectful response, the gist of the response, or one of the understandings of that response, is they basically communicated their inability to be able to acquire the knowledge and the understanding and be able to name these things. Now when Allah addresses Adam and He says, أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, tell them the names of these things. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. And then when Adam was able to inform them of all the names of these things, he was able to detail out the names of all those things. So everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught Adam, he was able to list it all back. Again, that little, just as an example to facilitate understanding, right? Not comparable to this scenario, but just a basic example is, like, again, when I when I show Khalid the vocabulary list, and if I show Faraz the vocabulary list, and I tell Faraz what was on the list, and he said, "I'm sorry, I don't know." And then I say, "Okay, Khalid, now you tell him what was on the vocab list," and Khalid lists off the vocabulary. So that is basically a simple example of what happened. أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Adam was able to tell them the names of all the things. قال, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. Did I not tell you? And this is basically when, this is hearkening back to the early part of the conversation, ayah number 30, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know that which you do not know. I know that which you cannot know. And so here, Allah says, did I not tell you that I am all-knowing of the unseen, the secrets, those things that are unknown to anyone and anything else in the heavens and the earth. And I know that which you reveal, that which you express out loud, that which you say, that which you do, that which you put out there into the real world. وَأَعْلَمَ تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And I also know all those things that you hide, that you conceal, that you keep within, that are inside the deeper recesses of your mind, buried within your hearts. I know all those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a constant theme in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. God knows when you whisper something, and God knows when you don't even whisper that thing. You know, there's whispering, but then the things that you don't even whisper, that you just leave buried inside your subconscious, inside your mind, or deep inside your heart, Allah said He knows those things as well. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. God says we created the human being, and we know those things that your kind of self, that the little whispers inside of yourself, the deeper, most inner, darkest thoughts that you have, we know those. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to the person than his own jugular vein. We know what you're thinking before you know what you're thinking, before you realize what you're thinking. Accountability is a different theme and a different story, and we're going to read about that later in Surah Al-Baqarah, that God doesn't hold us accountable for these kinds of thoughts or these deep kind of like, you know, just random thoughts or occurrences, right? Things that kind of cross your mind or whatever. That accountability is a different subject. We'll talk about that separately. This is just about nothing escaping God. Nothing being outside the grasp of God. Nothing being outside of the realm of Allah. لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. Right? The challenge that Allah issued in the Quran, that if you want to be outside of the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then go. Find a place where Allah does not rule. And it's obviously a rhetorical question, a rhetorical, you know, command. It's meant to humble, ta'jeez. You can't find a place that Allah does not rule. Meaning you are always within the grasp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. His knowledge encompasses everything. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Alright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, I told you, I know that which is hidden within the heavens and the earth, and I know all those things that you reveal and all those things that you continue to conceal. Kuntum, you continue to conceal. And even though I want to focus on these ayat that we talked about today, including the previous ayah from last session, 30 through 33, I really want to focus on this because there's a very important theme, one main lesson and theme that I'd like for us to walk away with from here. But before I do that, just very quickly, the Mufassirun point out something very beautiful, very powerful, that there's a little bit of difference in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out the things you reveal versus the things you conceal. He says, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ. I know those things that you reveal, and I know those things that you continue to conceal. The word continue, كُنْتُمْ. وَكَانَ يُفِيدُ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. It adds the meaning of continuity. So those things you still are concealing right now. And the Mufassirun say that is foreshadowing then what is coming in the next ayah, and that is the introduction of the character of Iblis into the story of Adam. That is foreshadowing the introduction of the character known as Iblis, a shaitan, into the story, because Allah is saying that you still are concealing right now. Because even while this whole conversation is going on, that is clearly illustrating how remarkable Adam, this creation, is. You still had Iblis and Shaitan there, witnessing this entire scenario, still filled with that hatred and that rancor and envy and jealousy against this new creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so we'll talk about that in the next session when we approach the story of Iblis. Now, one of the main takeaways, of course, like we've said multiple times before, the Qur'an is a word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so it's a sea without shores, it's an ocean, its wisdoms, you know, never end. وَعَجَائِبُهُ لَا تَنْقَضِي As many of the scholars of the Qur'an and the poets say that its wonders never cease. Its wonders never cease, the Qur'an. That being said, there's one particular lesson that I'd like for us to really focus on and, you know, kind of walk away with from here. And that is, in the next ayah, spoiler alert, we know this, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels to bow in front of Adam, to illustrate the superiority of Adam. And we'll talk more about that in the next session. But we know that the next thing is to establish the nobility and the superiority of the creation of Adam. But this whole entire conversation that happened here between ayahs number 30 through 33 served as the setup, established the premise for the superiority of Adam. How so though? Because the angels, if you pay very close attention, and you have to think here, what had the angels asked about Adam, about the human being? They had said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا Ya Rab, you're placing within the earth this creation that is going to cause chaos and shed blood. At what point of the conversation was that refuted? Was it ever refuted? Did Allah ever say, no, this creation will not cause chaos, and this creation will not... Did Allah say that at any point? He did not. He did not. He did not. So the fundamental objection about the tendency of this creation to cause chaos and shed blood, it was not refuted. It was actually, if you look at it, by not refuting it, it basically established it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically said, yeah, this creation will have this tendency to cause chaos and shed blood. And may Allah protect everyone, everywhere in the world, but as we sit today here, maybe at the brink of war, you see it happening right in front of us. We see it every single day. Chaos and bloodshed all around us, everywhere in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not refute that. So that became established. So then what establishes this human being as this great noble creation? Allah just confirmed basically, yeah, chaos and bloodshed will happen. They will do this. So then what makes this human being so noble, so great? Well, what transpired next is what we need to focus on. Allah created this. Okay, so these two creations that are present here at this situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels. And we talked about the creation. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْأَمُونَ Right? That they do not disobey God's command. They do as they are told. They never exhaust. They never fatigue. They never tire. They just do what they're told. They do exactly as they're told. And so what we can take from that is, if Allah creates the angel and then tells the angel to go into sujood. The angel goes into sujood and then stays in sujood potentially for all of eternity. Until Allah does not tell the angel to leave sujood. The angel stays in sujood, sajda, prostration, for infinitely basically. Alright? So what that basically means is that these angels have a static condition. It's a very noble condition. They're made of light, they don't disobey. But it is a static condition. They are created in this particular condition and form, and then they maintain that condition and form until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes them or changes His command to them. But what Allah illustrated about the human being is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this human being. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented this human being with an opportunity to grow, to become more sophisticated, to learn something, to acquire something, to know something more. And when that same opportunity was given to the angels could not basically grow and sophisticate and acquire this knowledge. That's why I use the word installed. It's installed within them and then that's it. But the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, added a new wrinkle to creation. And that was, this creation has the ability to learn. Has the ability to grow. Has the ability to deepen. And that is primarily illustrated through the ability to learn. That's why the revelation of the Quran began with Iqra. Read. This entire passage has been focusing on what? Ilm. Subhanak la ilma, knowledge. Innaka antal alim. Allah is the all-knowing. That's why this ability to learn is the greatest strength, is the greatest gift, it is the greatest ability that the human being possesses. The ability to learn and improve and grow and better oneself. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Right? And so this is what is demonstrated and illustrated here. And this premise, this was so powerful and so convincing that, again, we'll talk about it in more detail in the next session. But when Allah tells the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ, what happened? فَسَجَدُوا. They immediately fell into sajda. Number one, of course, they obeyed the command of Allah. But also, this is so convincing of a reality. It's so astonishing. It is a remarkable quality never ever before witnessed in any creation before Adam. And this is the same quality that makes human beings even till today so remarkable. That as I kind of commented earlier, the chaos and the bloodshed that's everywhere, we have every reason to completely, like if you look around it, if we only focus on all the bad things happening around us, there's 100 different reasons why somebody would despair, why somebody would lose hope, why somebody would just become very negative. But what keeps us positive? What keeps our hope alive? What makes us so optimistic? What, you know, lights a fire within us every day? You see things, right? You're sitting there and a little kid recites a surah. And it's the most remarkable thing you've ever seen. The kid who can't even pronounce a surah properly knows the surah by memory. Now, how do you know this? Because they can learn. Right? Somebody who was living a terrible life yesterday turns their life around and learns how to live a better life today. How'd that happen? Somebody who grew up in and lived in disbelief and disobedience of Allah accepts Islam. They come here in the masjid, they stand up, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and it blows your mind. It opens your heart. Wow. When you read the stories, and we see real life stories every day, but also when you hear and read Umar bin al-Khattab. How is it possible that a man leaves his house to assassinate the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ends the day putting his hand in the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I believe in you. I will follow you. How does that happen? How is that fathomable? So this is the hope and the inspiration. This is the human potential. And that is rooted within our ability to learn and grow. And that's the primary thing we have to focus on. And whenever we move away from this, learning of our deen, learning of our religion, growing and increasing, then we always find ourselves in trouble. And every single time we, as the human race, humanity, especially as believers, the ummah, communities, families, individuals, whenever we go back to learning and growing and increasing, we always find new horizons. And so this is the primary lesson that we can walk away from this. And this is really the thing that I wanted to highlight here today. And with that, inshallah, we'll conclude here. And in the next session, we'll move forward into ayah number 34, where we'll talk about the introduction of Iblis and Shaitan, and basically what transpires from there. May Allah give us all the ability to practice everything that I've said and heard.